People dressed in bustles and goggles, carrying jetpacks made with what appear to be ceiling fan blades. Yes, it's steampunk. Joining us to talk about Bloomington Normal's own steampunk event, Cogs and Corsets, is Anne-Marie Dittman of the BCPA and co-founder of Cogs and Corsets, Melanie Sheletow. It's coming up the weekend of June 9th.
I would say that it's the kind of event that you can come at it from whatever angle floats your boat. We've got folks for whom the history side is a big deal. Others, it's the costuming, or it's the engineering, the tinkering side, or the music, or the cosplay, the fantasy. It is all of those things. It is no one thing. And I think it just gives people an opportunity to have fun and engage in their hobbies in a way that brings a lot of people together.
Let's go to the history part. It's a history that never was. How does that appeal to historians?
So, you know, and that's sort of the strange tension a little bit sometimes. If you get these sort of purist historians, then yes, it probably rankles a little bit. But there is a lot of actual history of the Victorian era that people play off of, that makes its way into steampunk literature. I mean, you have to base it on some sort of reality, right? So a good example is we've got one of our headline presenters who's coming here, Dr. Professor Vitruvius Pike. He is an engineer and a historian, and he'll be presenting one of his talks is about the mystery airships of 1896, which was an actual occurrence where people over the course of a couple months saw these airships in the sky, and it caused mass hysteria and panic. And so he's talking about what that could have been. Were there someone that, you know, beat the Von Zeppelin? Somebody was in the air maybe before the folks that we recognize as being the, you know, the early flight.
The originators of
right.
Of
so
blitz.
there's that kind of history. He's also doing a talk on the humbug P.T. Barnum and the hoaxes of the era when there was all the pseudoscience, and these are real things, but they're fascinating and they're fun and they're engaging. And so I think it's one of those types of things where it's real history, but we're kind of have sort of this levity with it, and you can come to it with the idea that this is not some history presentation. It is, in fact, there's a lot of really fun and engaging things that went on in the Victorian era that we can celebrate.
Right, and it's also the fantasy and entertainment elements of it, too.
Yes.
One of the performers that we'll have at the BCPA, Joshua Kane, who's doing his performance of Gothic at Midnight, is basically a classic vaudevillian. So he is doing pieces from Poe and Twain and people who in the Victorian era have heard performed. So he is doing pieces that are macabre and humorous and doing a lot of interaction with the audience, just as the authors who were performers themselves did, you know, live readings during that era would have done during the Victorian era.
Let's talk about the cosplay aspect of it. Melanie, would you try to explain the allure of it, the satisfaction of it, the fun that people have with it, to someone who has never done that, who's never been a part of the Society for Creative Anachronism, who's never dressed up in Victorian era clothes or geeked out to a death ray or some sort of thing that is technology that isn't there but might have been had the world gone a different way?
I think that the costuming side is probably the most, obviously it's the most visible, also the most approachable. And so we have folks for whom costuming is a big deal. A lot of folks from like the Ren Faire world kind of spill over into steampunk, and some of these folks make these just amazing period creations that then they add aspects on. And so that's a very, you know, complex way to go about it. But for a lot of us, myself included, a lot of the fun is you go to thrift stores and you tear apart things that you've dug out of your closet or your friend's closet, and you do very creative things with them. You skirt hikes and you modify jackets into tailcoats and you, you know, you find a crazy pair of boots and maybe you, you know, dress them up with, you know, accessories. And it becomes sort of this statement of whatever you can envision and whatever you can put together. And I think it allows adults to kind of have the fun of Halloween with a whole bunch of other folks who are also having a really good time. And what's beautiful about the steampunk community is, unlike a place like Comic-Con, where you might have, you know, 20 or 30 folks dressed up as Flash, or, you know, whose costume is the best, who's the most accurate, who really nailed the look of that superhero. In steampunk, there's no wrong. And so there's no way to judge. And the steampunk society overall is a very inclusive, what I want to say, just very, very positive. And you see someone and they say, wow, I love how you did that bustle. I love your hat. And suddenly there's this immediate reason to talk to a stranger and share an idea and where you thrifted it. And there's, I guess, just sort of this openness of conversation that is sort of lacking in society sometimes. And this is a really beautiful way to just bring people together over something really fun and creative, but without a lot of expense. I've put together outfits for, you know, $6-$8 that I found at the Mission Mart, you know, and go to the ReStore here in town and got it parts from a ceiling fan and made a jet pack and, you know, again, probably $15. And that fun, as you're walking around in a costume and having people stop you and go, can I take your picture? That is amazing. You know what? That's totally worth it. You know, it's
well,
so much
fun.
We just
had a workshop, how to make a bustle out of a tablecloth. And the total cost of making most of those bustles
$5
about, yeah, like under $10.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie Dittman of the BCPA and Melanie Shillitoe of Cogs and Corsets talking about the Cogs and Corsets steampunk adventure coming up the weekend of June 7, 8, and 9 in downtown Bloomington and at the BCPA.